From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, AFBF is criticizing the Bush administration for its hard line on who can get farm bill payments, and Japan has suspended imports of U.S. beef from a Kansas packer. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later this half hour, and then on the subject of livestock, I'll explain just what that mysterious blue ear disease that has cut the Chinese pig crop down to size is, or at least its corresponding disease here in North America. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Nearby contracts in the wheat pit settled at 7.93¾ for the September futures, 28.5 cents higher for the soft red. December at 8.18½, up 28.25. In the March contract, $8.43, 28.5 cents higher. September Kansas City hard red winter wheat, $8.25. up 21¼. In the corn pit, September contract, $4.97¼, down 1¼. December futures at $5.17, a penny and a quarter lower. In the March contract, $5.36¾. Finished the day down 1¼. May futures at $5.49, down a penny and three quarters on the afternoon. August soybean futures, $12.15. even. Settlement price up 16 cents today. September at 11.89½, up 12.5. And November soybeans, $11.96, 15.5 higher. January futures at 12.13½, up 15¼. August bean meal at $3.32.50, up $6.20. August bean oil at $50.41, up 2 cents today. August live cattle futures at $102.30, 82.5 cents higher. The October at $106.82½, 37.5 higher. August feeders at $114.97½, 35 cents higher. SEPs at $116.72½, up 117, or rather up 17.5. And lean hogs at $89.97½, a dollar higher. Here's what the outside markets are looking like on the afternoon. The nearby contracts and the crude oil are trading the September futures at $114.50 at this hour, down 70 cents. October contract is down 70 as well at $114.70. September ethanol futures at $2.06¾, up 2¾, and the October futures at $2.06¼, up 4½ cents this afternoon. September natural gas, $8.35¼, 11¼ higher for the September, and the September RBOB gasoline at $2.87¼. That's 1¼ lower. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, was just about unchanged today at $3.12, and the September propane is unchanged at $1.73 on the afternoon. August gold futures at $821.50 an ounce, $36.30 lower. The Dow Jones Net Industrial Average now stands just about 12 points higher at 11,747 for the day. The U.S. dollar is currently trading at 76.18, that's 33 higher, and the CRB index now stands at 385.19. It's down 2.23 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region tonight. Clear and cool. Lows will range from 52 in eastern Indiana to 60 in southwestern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, it'll become partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly sunny early, then increasing cloudiness during the afternoon. Highs will range from 76 in the north to 85 in the far south. Tonight, if you have the opportunity, please drop by the Ag-Reliant Research Facilities right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will be there along with a panel of ag experts to take up the markets. It's a free outlook meeting, starts at 6:45 p.m. this evening at the Ag-Reliant facilities right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the agricultural futures markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we are on the verge of the next USDA crop production report. Should have some acreage numbers along with it. And we have some things happening around the globe that probably are having an impact in the marketplace as well. I'm thinking, of course, of what's happening in Georgia and near Tbilisi and with the former Soviet Union, Russia now, under Mr. Putin.
Yeah, it's adding to the volatility, the uncertainty. The world is watching that very closely, see who else or what else develops and gets involved in their conflict there. We'll monitor that as time goes on. That's probably why we've seen the dollar strengthen here over the short term. So hopefully we won't start drawing sides and seeing a lot of other countries get involved. But the main thing, though, with the grain complex is sort of put the outside markets aside today, with crude oil down over $2 at one time, gold down almost $40 at one time. The grain market was able to take a stand and sort of do its own thing here. The production estimates as far as yield is expected to go higher, but I think you really summed it up by saying the acreage, our biggest number or biggest area that we're going to be watching is what the USDA comes up with harvested acres, Todd.
Yeah, the United States Department of Agriculture, I think, was looking to survey about 9,000 farmers to get a better idea of what really happened in parts of Illinois, Indiana, and certainly in Iowa. What do you think they'll find?
Well, the Iowa administration indicated that the flood damage was overestimated and not as bad as what the public perceived it to be. So I don't know. We'll see. The probably what's more important other than the flooded areas themselves is the holes we have out there in some areas. Even though those holes might not produce a whole lot, you know, how that field or fields average out is going to be the big question. But we're looking for maybe a slightly lower harvested acreage. When it's all said and done, probably the big acreage number of all the commodities will be the bean number. We were quite bearish beans with the idea that every acre of soft red winter wheat would go to double crop beans. That's not the case. USDA might not have been high enough the first time around, so we'll be watching the harvested bean acreage estimates.
Do you have an idea, and I don't know whether you'll know this or not, because they're going to take a look under the acreage at what farmers believe they will harvest it in total number of acres. But that probably will not include the holes, I would think, in the middle of those fields. So farmers won't have much of an idea. They'll probably have an idea how big those holes are, but they may not be reported. So I would think it would be the national yield that would pick that up. Do you think it'll pick it up this early in the stage, or will we have to wait until the combines really start to roll across a portion of the Midwest?
Well, when we see the combines roll, the phones will be ringing, or lack of ringing, depending on what part of the field you're in, because you're going to have areas that's going to be zero, very low to some very high yields. We'll have those fields average out. We'll see. But, no, that's the big debate here. And oftentimes when you're in this situation, they do raise the yield, but the harvest acres do come down slightly because you're going to knock out some of those poor acres. But as far as these little holes around, that's not going to be I don't believe that's going to be affected. The survey area was mainly in the flood zones, is the way I understand it. You know, along the waterway system is where most of the survey took place.
You've got some things in your back pocket for this evening when you're out and about at the AgReliant Ag Panel update for AM 580 with Dave Dickey tonight.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be very popular. We feel that we're sort of in a cautious mode right now, and the main question is, are we going to go back up? And I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but we feel it's probably going to take a lot of work for the market to regroup here and get something going the upside. In order to get a sizable rally, it's going to have to be a major event take place, and the next major event would probably be an early frost or freeze, and we sure don't want that, Todd.
So Monday of last week, I think when we talked to you, you were talking about some lower numbers. We were quite a bit higher at that point even then. So you still got those lower numbers in mind for corn and soybeans?
Boy, I feel our risk is still to the downside, and basically all we did is we took that sideways congestion. If you measure that back down, the downside risk corn on the December on the corn chart in general could be as low as 350 and as low as 1050 on the beans. Technically that's in store until we turn the trend back up. Probably the biggest concern is if you go clear back in history, even to the early 70s rally, if you look at the price chart, the market has always gone back to the point of breakout. And so that suggests that over time this market can go back down to where we were a year and a half ago.
We appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Have a safe trip here to Champaign County tonight.
Boy, we enjoy it. That's the best part of the job, being able to get out and visit everyone and answer the questions, Todd.
All right, thanks much.
Okay.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. He'll be here in Champaign County along with Jackie Vakes and a couple of others tonight, and Dave Dickey, too, out at the Ag Reliant facilities to do an ag panel. If you have questions you'd like to ask our panelists, you can do that. It's absolutely free at 6:45 p.m. this evening.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Speaking of Dave Dickey, he's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, the American Farm Bureau Federation is criticizing a Bush administration decision to prohibit small farmers from reorganizing their properties in order to qualify for subsidy payments, even though Congress included the possibility in the Farm Bill. The new Farm Bill bars producers from receiving direct, countercyclical, or average crop revenue payments if their farm consists of 10 acres or less. But the report accompanying the bill says aggregation of farms should be allowed. 49 House Democrats have written a letter to USDA complaining about the department's unwillingness to allow reorganization. USDA says it will not comment until it has answered the House letter. Japan has suspended beef shipments from a Kansas packer after finding 3.8 million tons of U.S. beef without the proper sanitary certification. Japanese officials also say they found 10 pounds of hamburger. The U.S. is not allowed to ship processed meat to Japan. Trade ministers in China and Australia say they will work over the next several months to bring life back to the Doha round of world trade talks. The talks broke down in Geneva last month after the U.S., China, and India failed to agree on rights to impose emergency tariffs to protect farmers. The Canadian Wheat Board says it rejects an Informa Economics study, saying that Western Canadian farmers would see greater returns if the CWB's single-desk marketing monopoly was dismantled. The study, commissioned by the Alberta government, has stirred up a long-running debate about the CWB. The study says that prairie producers could gain roughly $500 million a year by moving to an open market system. U.S. ethanol capacity now stands at about 10 billion gallons a year, roughly a 50% increase from last August. At least 8 new U.S. ethanol plants have opened since June. And Brazilian cotton farmers are pressing the government to pull the trigger on up to $4 billion a year in trade sanctions against the U.S. Brazil is still considering its options after a WTO decision in June cleared the way for retaliatory sanctions against U.S. cotton subsidies. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Two things to keep in mind tomorrow. I'll be at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, and we'll broadcast this program live from the Commodities Pavilion at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's directly across from the grandstand at 2 tomorrow from the Illinois State Fairgrounds. Tonight, you can go visit Dave Dickey. He'll be out at the AgReliant Genetics Facility at 6:45 p.m. this evening right here in Champaign County, along with Kurt Kimmel and Jackie Vakes, Chuck Shelby, and Matt Bennett. They'll all be there to take your questions about marketing. It's the AgReliant Genetics Facility here in Champaign County. Kicks off at 6:45 p.m. You're welcome, and it's absolutely free. Now, up next, you know, over the past 2 years, the Chinese hog industry has suffered from a disease called blue ear. I'll file a report explaining the disease, its impact in China, and what it might mean to U.S. pork exports. The Chinese raise about 530 million hogs every year. That's five times what the U.S. produces. Historically, this one nation has housed half of the world's hog population. Over the past 2 years, the herds, if they can be called herds, usually one or two pigs in the backyard, have been stricken by a disease called blue ear. Finished hog production in China, consequently, is down dramatically. And should this nation, where 65% of the meat consumed is pork, decide to import pig meat, it would have a dramatic impact, says Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt.
And if they should turn to the world to buy that shortfall just to get them back to where their production was in 06, that is to bring consumption up to the same level as 06, would take 40% of all the pork produced in the United States. Now, again, they're going to buy from other countries. We don't know that they will try to cover all of that loss, but we think we really have some very good export opportunities, certainly in the short run and maybe longer run.
That would be very good news for the beleaguered U.S. pork industry, which has been selling hogs sometimes at a loss because of the high price of feed. While the term blue ear is not familiar as a disease in the U.S., the disease itself is actually very familiar, says University of Illinois animal scientist Jim Pettigrew. We call it PRRS.
Well, PRRS is porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome. It's a viral disease that has been probably the most expensive pig disease in our industry for the last 20 years at least, and maybe longer.
Pettigrew says the blue ear outbreaks of PRRS in Asia appear to be a different strain of the virus than found in North America. It has proven to be more difficult to deal with than the U.S. version of PRRS. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Have a question about digital radio or digital TV? Come to the WILL Digital Information Fair and Open House Sunday, August 24th from 2 to 4:30 at 300 North Goodwin, Urbana. Get your questions answered, tour Campbell Hall, meet our on-air hosts, and enter to win a digital TV or digital radio. We hope to see you Sunday, August 24th at Campbell Hall.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. It's time to take a look at the cash grain market. On the line with us this afternoon is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about what's been happening there in your office over the past week and a half and through this $3 decline in the grain market for corn.
Well, someone asked the other day if we'd seen any panic selling, and I said panic yes, selling no. That seems to be summing it up pretty well. We have not seen a lot of farmers selling either old crop or new crop. I think a lot of people wish they would have sold, obviously, but it just dropped so quickly, and farmers just were hoping that it would come back, and it just hasn't come back. I think corn's been down 6 weeks in a row on the weekly charts, and beans have been down 5 weeks in a row on the weekly charts. So Just no opportunities for a bounce yet, and then until it does, I think farmers are probably going to hold on now and see what happens.
You have a gut feeling about tomorrow morning's USDA crop production and acreage reports?
I would think that if they, since they resurveyed the farmers, they may find a few less acres that got planted to corn. So I would look for a lower acreage number, but that may be more than offset, or at least offset to some extent by the higher yield, because the crop condition ratings have gotten better across the Midwest, I think almost every week now for the last 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. So traders are looking for, you know, 3 to 4 bushel better yield, and that will offset some of the reduced acres if that in fact happens.
And all in all, what that really means is a change in the ending stocks for 2008-2009, or the coming marketing year. How much do you think it'll change? Are we in for a 300 million bushel change of, from an 11.7 to a 12 or 12.1, 12.2?
It could, but then that could change in another month or two, but it's going to take weather problems, you know, the frost talk and all that. Without that, though, yeah, we probably will see a couple hundred million increase, I'm afraid.
No, I guess I'm using two numbers simultaneously. I asked about ending stocks, but gave you a total production.
Production number, yeah, $12 billion on the production, and that would probably translate into a couple hundred million, at least 100 million more increase in the ending stocks number.
So you would think it would push up towards a billion bushels on the carryover?
Yeah, right around a billion, I'm afraid.
And still, that'd be 500 million short of where we are this year.
Yeah, and we'll go through this all over again between now and next spring. We'll have to buy acres and go through this whole thing all over again. So I think long-term, the outlook is very friendly, but without weather problems, we may have to sink lower into the fall and then rally back up after fall like we did last year.
I mean, I think this is where I was driving to, was trying to figure out just what you thought about farmers not selling, frankly, and if there was an idea that if they're holding on to their corn, they'll just be putting it in the bin and waiting for higher prices next spring.
Yeah, the one answer or question that I wish I had the answer to was this oil market. I really think there's so much participation from funds and speculators and people that don't normally trade commodities that a fair amount of money that goes into the oil market tends to spill over into the corn and bean markets and other commodities, gold and silver and what have you. And it seems like with the sell-off in oil, that's spilled over into a sell-off in the other commodities. So I think oil is still the leader, and it's hard for me to imagine that oil is just all over with, but I also understand there's a lot of speculation in that market. The CFTC is doing some behind-the-scenes jawboning, trying to get some speculators out of that market, and I think they've done the job pretty well here lately, as evidenced by the $20-$25 sell-off in oil over the last couple of weeks. So if that continues, it's going to be hard-pressed for corn and beans to rally. But if oil would come back, then corn and beans could easily go back up again.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes the day at 467, new corn 475, cash beans are 1194, new beans 1116, old wheat is 634, and next year's wheat is 699.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks much. That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm your host, Todd Gleason, reminding you of a couple of things. I'll be at the State Fair in Springfield tomorrow, 2 o'clock at the Commodities Pavilion. Dave Dickey will be at the AgriLiant facilities tonight at 6:45 for an Ag Outlook panel. And you will be able to stay with us this afternoon, because in 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on the Closing Market Report.
It's 6 minutes past.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Army says it's completed neutralization of its entire stockpile of VX nerve agent at the Newport Chemical Depot in western Indiana. The project took 3 years, and the caustic wastewater produced by the neutralization process is now being shipped to a chemical plant in Port Arthur, Texas, for incineration. A Champaign County Board Committee will start discussing new zoning regulations tonight for wind farms. While wind farms have been built or proposed in nearby counties, Champaign County currently has no regulations to address large arrays of wind turbines for producing energy. County Board Environment Committee Chair Barb Wasaki says they need to have regulations ready in case a proposal is made for a wind farm in Champaign County. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn stood outside an event featuring Governor Rod Blagojevich today, passing out flyers and urging the Illinois Senate to reject automatic pay raises for lawmakers and top government officials. Quinn says he doesn't have a ticket for the City Club of Chicago event that Blagojevich is headlining, but he says he wants the governor to urge a no vote by senators. State health officials say Illinois' first reported human case of West Nile virus this year occurred in Kane County. The Department of Health says a woman in her 20s fell ill with the mosquito-borne virus in late July. Health officials say the woman could have gotten the virus outside Illinois because she recently traveled, but Kane County is one of 11 Illinois counties that have reported mosquitoes, birds, or horses with the West Nile virus this year. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says teachers should have legal protections if they act in good faith to maintain discipline and order. Daniels says if he's reelected, he'll ask the Indiana General Assembly next year to give legal immunity for teachers who may become the target of litigation. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I don't know whether to say that dude, you rock, or dude, the weather rocks, but either one of them is correct.
I guess we can thank Mother Nature here for such a wonderful weather weekend here in the Midwest. From meteorologists, we just provide you that information. We're the bearers of the good news, at least for this stretch of good weather. But we'll tell you also when it's going to turn bad, unfortunately, there, Todd.
Well, when do you think that, when do we get a chance to shoot you again?
Well, I guess it depends if you like rain or not, or the next real opportunity for some rain here across Illinois is going to be taking place primarily over the upcoming weekend as a storm system slowly traverses the Midwest. In fact, this is one of those systems that will become bogged down for several days across the nation's midsection. And so the further that you live in, further south that you live in Illinois, actually it looks like that will be the most active conditions, whereas up north, kind of close or Wisconsin border, that's where at least the lightest amounts of rain will fall.
And tomorrow and this evening, Dave Dickey and I will both be out and about tonight here in Champaign County, and then tomorrow in Springfield at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, we'll have good weather for both of those events.
Oh, certainly, Todd. It looks absolutely fantastic here the rest of the day today and throughout all of tomorrow as well.
What do you see around the globe that you can tell us about?
Well, across China, they continue to have very favorable weather as we wrap up their growing season here in soybean pod development. They've had absolutely no issues at all from a weather standpoint this growing season, and that looks to continue here as we wrap up the growing season. India, we're watching things a little bit closer now as it looks like the monsoon will again become more sporadic, and that will begin late this week. And so far this monsoon season, they've had these active and inactive windows, and that's caused some dryness concerns. Hasn't become that big of an issue, but the question now becomes with this new inactive phase and some below normal rainfall here setting up for a couple of weeks, how long does that last?
And then tell me about the beginning. I suppose the end of the layoff season in South America, and we're a little early for the beginning of the planting season, but how are they setting up nonetheless?
Well, right now, from a soil moisture standpoint, Argentina is having some dryness issues that is actually affecting their winter wheat crop. And so that will need to be solved here over the next couple of months to at least initiate a good soil moisture base for newly planted summer crops. But obviously a long ways to go before any kind of issue there. And for Brazil, actually, they've seen widespread heavy rainfall across the southern areas of Brazil, which is actually an area that needed some rain here and had been dry at least earlier in their winter. And so that's helped improve soil moisture for their winter wheat, but also as we look ahead towards the start of summer crop planting here about 2 months from now.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it. Overall, pretty quiet from a from a weather standpoint, actually, globally at this time.
Well, that's the way we like it. We appreciate your views this afternoon. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, then, Todd. Have
Thanks
a good
much.
Day.
Mm-hmm. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. This has been the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.